Okay, so as promised, here we are back for the live portion of the show, and hopefully you guys got a lot of lessons learned from that. I know I certainly did. And Gene, thanks so much for joining in. I know it's bright and early out there in Vancouver, British Columbia, but thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, it is.
So, you know what, I'm gonna work backwards for you while, you know, the folks come up and ask questions into the chat. And I'm going to start with one of the last things that you talked about, which was embracing change. And I know, you know, a lot of times when you talk about Azure and you talk about cloud computing in general, one of the things that comes up is, yeah, you know what, the coding part is not so difficult. The architecture part is somewhat more difficult, but still not impossible. And what ends up being the bigger problem is this idea of embracing change, right? Is that, do you think that that's fair to say? Like, is that the primary, I want to say the primary technical problem, but it's not really a technical problem?
Yes, I agree with that. Because in my opinion, when developers say they use a new platform or develop something new, whether it's on Microsoft or any other platform, the first thing that they do is they always try to compare things that are new with things that they're familiar with, and anything that that's beyond their comfort zone, they complain about. So, but the big issue is that if they keep on doing that, they're actually slowing down their growth instead of, because as I mentioned also, it's a discoverable environment. So the more you dig in, the more you learn, the more you discover. And so that's why developers would actually, number one, have to accept that there is a new platform to develop on. Now, it doesn't mean that they have to forget what they know, it's just right. That they have to accept, right? And once that they have accepted, then everything would flow much smoother, as opposed to having to just keep on complaining about, well, it doesn't do this, it doesn't do that. Yes, but there are other ways of doing it, and that's the exciting part as far as I'm concerned as well.
So now flipping over to the technical part of you know, the lessons learned and the migration that you guys did. When it does in fact come to migrating, and I know you touched on it ever so slightly, but what are your thoughts on, you know, when you were talking about Cloud Ninja and you were talking about multi-tenancy, but in this world, there's also this concept of having single tenancy on dedicated hardware, which technically makes a multi-tenanted application. Well, you know, what are the thoughts on that? You know, creating multi-tenanted applications that we're used to using in order to optimize hardware and so on and so forth, where now we're not so much worried about that anymore, and we could technically make single-tenanted applications. What have you found in your experience has worked better, or?
As far as I'm concerned, from an operational standpoint, there is far more efficiency if we do it, you know, multi-tenancy on the entire platform, on the entire Azure platform, as right. opposed to just deploying it one instance at a time. In our case, some of the people we compete with, instead of when they try to offer software as service, what they do is they actually get their server-based application and they just virtualize it.
Right.
Right. But when they do that, whatever the limitations are of that server-based application gets carried over to the virtual server on the cloud. So you're not really taking advantage of, say, storage scalability. You're not taking advantage of a lot of these items. And redundancy, availability redundancy, you actually have to make sure that that's part of your application architecture so that you take advantage of all those features.
Makes sense. And now, again, going back to migration stories and building net new and comparing the two together, when we're looking at this idea of migrating an existing application, any lessons learned there in terms of how to rip apart an application and then slowly move it to the cloud?
I would suggest do it component by component. So, for example, and do prototyping for each and every component. Say you need the file management piece, do that first. Try to move that to the cloud and see what's going on there. And then, for example, when we did the search, we also did the search as a component by itself. So in our experience, we didn't really do a migration per se. Yeah. What we actually did was we actually went in with with a blank canvas and redid what we actually what we think would be good for a digital asset management system.
And that's actually what I liked about how you were talking about in the beginning of when you were doing the comparison. You know, do we rewrite? Do we start fresh? And you were giving all of the reasons there of doing that. It does, in fact, come a point where you say, well, yeah, you know, in order to migrate this, there'd be so much that we need to change that it actually just makes sense to start from scratch. And was that the case here?
Yes, that was the case. That was the business case at Media Valley. And it does make more sense to just build it from scratch. And also, by doing that, we can take advantage of a lot of the platform functionality and features directly instead of trying to retrofit old functionality or features into the cloud.
And now let me ask you this. So now, when you're in this kind of situation, you're saying, okay, great, I'm starting from scratch. Obviously, some of your code is reusable. And I know you touched on this as well. How do you make sure from an architecture perspective, or I should say software architecture perspective, that you redesign the application in such a way that it's coupled to the cloud but decoupled enough so that you can actually make changes if you need to change providers sometime in the future, or you do in fact want to bring it on premise? What's your guidance to make sure that it's decoupled enough?
Yeah, so my suggestion would be to put in that layer, like when I was discussing our architecture earlier. So Windows Azure Services is the bottom layer, and you have your domain entities and your business objects as the layer that your user interface talks to. But in between that, between the domain entities and the Windows Azure layer, we actually put in number one, the provider model. And then number two would be our enterprise library. So the enterprise library is very Azure specific. But if we have to change it later on, we don't have to make changes to the business objects. We just have to make changes within our enterprise library.
And I know that it is sometimes a concern for some developers who say, you know what, the more layers like that you add, the more overhead you're adding to the performance. Do you find that that's actually an issue, or is it worth the additional little bit of overhead to ensure that you're not locked into any specific platform?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's worth the investment. Although you may have some additional overhead. But the thing is, like, the cloud is a continuously evolving platform, and it's evolving very quickly. So that if you have to take advantage of a new feature, instead of now, if you're locked into one particular feature, then that becomes more of a maintenance problem later on.
Right.
Maintainability of the application becomes an issue. But by doing this, so for example, if you're doing, say, your session provider and table storage, now you want to do it on Azure, on a different, say, on SQL Azure, on different components within Azure.
Right.
You don't have to make the changes anywhere else, but within that particular service library.
Right, I mean, a provider model is not new software architecture by any means.
It's
I think
exactly.
The part that worries people these days is that technically your provider, in this case, is a lot more, I guess you could say, lower level than it has been in the past, and so that therein lies
Very
some concerns. But If I'm hearing you correctly, the provider model, is still tried, tested, and true. And just because the cloud is the underneath layer now, shouldn't change the way that the architecture works.
Exactly.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Gene, for your insights and your knowledge, and definitely for sharing the lessons. We are at the top of the hour, so that's been great. And again, for those of you guys watching, if you have any additional questions for Gene or myself, by all means, post them right into the LinkedIn group. As you know, it's link.in/cdndevs. More than happy to answer any kind of questions that you might have there. And with that, Gene, thanks so much again for joining us.
My pleasure.
We'll see you in the future. And again, for those guys and gals that are watching us live, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in about 2 weeks or so for, of course, a brand new session. Until then, have a great week, and we'll see you soon.